glad somebody can love us even in our worst and in our sorrowful, pitiful shape that we get into a lot of times. Amen. Glad Jesus loves us. Well, we're still in the life, talking about the life of David and all the things that he's gone through, especially now since we've seen his son that has rebelled against him, Absalom, and he's come through that disastrous time, is what I would think that it is. We'll look at a little bit more in depth at three people tonight. We're going to look at three different men in 2 Samuel chapter number 19. Remember, I told you we were going to kind of split this up, and we're going to look in chapter number 19 and talk about some fellows that are mentioned here in David's return to the kingdom, back to Jerusalem as he's headed back his way. And there's three men, and like I say, we intentionally moved over that part last week and got on toward the end of it. But there's three men in here that come out to see David as he gets ready to go back from this battle against Absalom. And we've seen the death of Absalom and all the things that are there beyond that, and David's sorrow and David's hurt and David's pain over that. But he's got to go back and be the king. He's got to go back and get into that kingdom work again. So let's look at that, if you will. Look with me in verse number 16 in chapter number 19. We're looking at chapter number 19, and this is the second part of this study. And in verse number 16, we read, first of all, it says, "And a Shimei, a son of Gera, a Benjamite, which was of Bahurim, hasted and came down with the men of Judah to meet King David." Now, David's getting ready to go back and, again, establish his kingship. And in doing that, obviously, he's got to move from where he is there near Mahanaim. And they've got to come back and traverse some waterways and some forest areas and the desert lands. Got to head back to the kingdom. So as he goes, there's a man by the name of Shimei. Okay? As you remember, I hope you remember, in our study previously, when David left, Shimei was the fellow that stood out throwing rocks and cursing David and saying, "You're getting what you deserve." I mean, this was Shimei. If y'all, you know, think back on that, and if you need to, you can back up a few chapters in your Bible and refresh your memory. But that's what he was doing. You know, I told him, y'all remember we was talking about Ernest T. Bass? That he kind of reminded me of him. He's throwing rocks and making fun and yelling and carrying on as David and his men were leaving because Absalom had stirred and stolen the hearts of everybody. And here he is leaving the country, or leaving the kingdom, Jerusalem area. And as he's going out, here's Shimei cussing at him and yelling and throwing rocks and saying, "You're getting what you deserve, David." But I want you to notice, as David comes back, it says that Shimei hasted and came down with the men of Judah to meet King David. And it says, "And there were 1,000 men of Benjamin with him, and Ziba, the servant of the house of Saul, and his 15 sons and his 20 servants with him. And they went over Jordan before the king. And there went over a ferry boat to carry over the king's household to do what he thought good. And Shimei, the son of Gera, fell down before the king as he was come over Jordan. And he said unto the king, 'Let not my lord impute iniquity unto me, neither do thou remember that which thy servant did perversely the day that my lord the king went out of Jerusalem, that the king should take it to heart. For thy servant doth know that I have sinned. Therefore, behold, I am come the first day of all the house of Joseph to go down to meet my lord the king.' But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, answered and said, 'Shall not Shimei be put to death for this, because he cursed the Lord's anointed?' And David said, 'What have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah, that you should this day be adversaries unto me? Shall there any man be put to death this day in Israel? For do not I know that I am this day king over Israel?' Therefore the king said unto Shimei, thou shalt not die. And the king sware unto him. Let's have a word of prayer, if you would. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the evening. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for blessing us. And thank you, dear Lord, that there is grace and mercy be found in your presence and that you do love us. And we thank you for that. I pray now, God, just give us wisdom, give us insight, and give us something to see here in the Word of God. Now, I pray you to help us to have a heart and a developed inside part of us that would realize the power of a forgiving God and the power that we have to forgive others of all the things maybe that they even do against us. And we'll praise you, we'll thank you, we'll love you for everything that you do. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. I want you to look at this with me, if you will. And this is just the first guy, but I want to call him the man who found forgiveness. As I said, you remember the story about who Shimei was. I mean, he was the guy that when David was going out, he was laughing at him. He was mocking him. He was making fun of him. He was throwing rocks. And he said, good. He said, you're getting what you deserve. I know what you've done to my family. I know what you did to Saul. I know how you treated all of these. And, you know, he just all tore up and been out of shape. Amen. Can I tell you, that's about the way that really sinners are against God many times. Now, we might not be that very audibly and very displayed with those sentiments, but, you know, they're certainly there. I mean, sometimes we just shake our fist in the face of God as a sinner. Sometimes we just dare God. Sometimes we just curse God, as a matter of fact, as a lost person. Amen? And in that, we are showing our defiance toward a living God. Can I tell you something? Man, hey, you think back on your life, and if you've been there some of those days, you ought to realize now and say, thank God that there is some forgiveness that comes from the Lord. Amen? There's forgiveness that comes. So here's Shimei, and when he gets word that David, that, you know, Absalom's dead, and that David's coming back to take his rightful ownership as king, then he goes to meet the king. He goes to meet the king. I mean, I don't even really understand this as far as getting to understand him, but you know, I don't understand how God forgives me and you as old rotten sinners either. I don't know how he does that, and I don't know what makes us have this brokenness other than to realize, hey, we're in the same shape spiritually that he felt like he was physically. It says in verse 16, and Shimei, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, which was of Bahurim, hasted and came down with the men of Judah to meet King David. And it said, and there were 1,000 men of Benjamin with him, and Ziba, the servant of the house of Saul, and his 15 sons, and his 20 servants, and they went over Jordan before the king. And it said there they went over a ferry boat to carry the king's household and to do what he thought good. And Shimei, the son of Gera, fell down before the king as he was come over Jordan. I mean, Shimei brings himself and falls in the presence of David the king. I just think this is a good picture for me and you of how that it should be, and maybe for you how it was when the Lord saved you. Amen. I mean, you found yourself where you realized who you were, what you were, and who he was, and he was the only one that could save you. Amen. I imagine Shimei is thinking that maybe David is going to remember what he did and how he acted and you know, throwing rocks and calling names and screaming and yelling and acting like a crazy man. Hey, you know what? God would have every right to remember every one of those things against me and you in our former lives. But aren't you glad he chose to forgive you when you came to him? And Shimei comes and brings himself. And it says that he fell down here in verse number 18. He fell down before the king as he was come over Jordan. Amen? Man, he found that he... I like the way that he goes to the king. But not only that, I want you to notice he really just gives an announcement of his guilt before the king. Now, remember what it said here. Here is Shimei, but he's not just by himself. It said there were with him, in verse 17, 1,000 men of Benjamin. And there was Ziba, the servant of the house of Saul. And look at Ziba. He had 15 sons. Amen. Y'all want to pay his grocery bill? He had 15 sons and 20 servants with him. And here they are all going to help the king come back. And I'll tell you something. Hey, some of us are not this good at this, but I'm telling you, Shimei said, I don't care who's here. I'm going to fall before the king, and I'm going to beg for his forgiveness, and I'm going to just tell him how guilty that I really am. He admits his guilt before the king and before everybody. Listen to what it says. Verse number 19, and he said unto the king, let not my Lord impute iniquity unto me, neither do thou remember that which thy servant did perversely the day that my Lord the king went out of Jerusalem, and that the king should take it to his heart. He said, I want you to know something, king. I know what I did, but I'm praying that you will not act upon that in the way that you could. You know how kings acted in those days? Boy, if there was somebody like that and they want to, they could say, you're dead. And there'd be a bunch going there and they'd just jump on them and kill them. I mean, as a matter of fact, you see, some of David's servants said, why don't we just, you let me go over, I'll take care of him right now. Amen? But here he is, he's fessing up. And look what he said in verse 20. For thy servant doth know that I have sinned. Listen, therefore, behold, I am come the first this day of all the house of Joseph to go down to meet my Lord the king. I mean, he's admitting, I want you to know, David, I'm wrong, and I know I'm wrong, and I'm telling you that I'm wrong. Can I tell you, he admits his guilt before the king. I you know, there's a lot of folks coming, well, I'll get saved, but I really don't have anything I need to get saved. Yes, you do. You're as dirty, rotten, stinking, low down as I was the day that I got saved. We're all sinners. We need the forgiveness of God, and we just need to come with that admission of our guilt. Amen? You're going to get forgiveness. I'm telling you, God is well pleased when me and you as sinners will just say, God, I'm lost. Amen. Didn't you have to do that? I did. I don't know anybody else. I did it. I said, God, I'm a sinner. I said, God, I'm wrong and you're right. I'm low down and you're high up. I'm filthy and you're holy. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. I need to be saved. Amen. And you're the only one that can do it. And I'm telling you, here's Shimei, and Shimei says, I'm guilty. I did it. I know. And you know what it is. I want to tell you something. It ain't just the fact that Shimei knew it. He said, you know, king. You know what I said. You know what it is. He said, I'm praying you will not just take that to heart and hold it all against me. Amen? Now, he didn't know what the answer was going to be, but he is admitting his guilt. But aren't you glad of this? That he finds his grace from the king. Listen to what it is. Here's verse 21. Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, answered and said, shall not Shimei be put to death for this, because he cursed the Lord's anointed? Amen? As I said, David had that right as king to say, boys, y'all go over and just kill him, because he's the one that cursed me. He's the one that threw rocks. He's the one that made fun. You know, all that. Do you know God could have done the same thing to us? He could have said, nope. I know what you did. And he'd be right. And he'd be just in doing that. And, you know, you remember when Jesus is walking and there's some people doing some things, and James and John said, Lord, you want us to pray and call down fire from heaven on this crowd? And Jesus said, y'all don't know what you're doing. You don't understand. Hey, folks, today we still live in the day of grace and mercy. And I think some of us need to get that in our heart. We've got so much animosity, so much, you know, we want, and I mean, I'll be honest with you, here I am. Hey, God, won't you send a bomb over and blow that crowd in Iraq and Iran and over in the middle? Just blow all them off. They don't even deserve. Well, I didn't either, amen. I didn't deserve any mercy. I didn't deserve any grace, but he gave it. Amen. Look at the wisdom of David in his kingship. This guy says, don't you want me to just go over and kill him? I know how to handle this, David. And David said, what have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah, that you should this day be adversaries unto me? He said, look, you're speaking in a way that I'm not thinking. He said, shall there any man be put to death this day in Israel? For do not I know that I am this day the king of... He said, I want you to know, boys, I'm still the king today. Amen? You know what? I believe God has to tell me and you that, hey, did I leave you in charge? No, I'm still in charge. You just watch what you're doing and what you're thinking. Amen? I believe you have to tell all of us that, right? He said, therefore, the king said unto Shimei, thou shalt not die. And the king swear unto him. Can I tell you, the Lord promised me one day that I didn't have to die. When I had melted my guilt, when I came to him and asked for forgiveness, thank God, I'm here to tell you, he's still in the forgiving business today. I don't care how rotten you are, don't care what you've done, don't care about your sin and who all you've offended and done wrong. Thank God he's still there to forgive. Amen. Peter looked at him and he said, Lord, if my brother sinned against me, do I have to forgive him even seven times? And Jesus said, yea, I say unto you, 70 times seven. And somebody said, oh, great. Not only do we have to forgive people, we've got to do math too. Amen. Both of them are tough, ain't it? But, I mean, listen, can you imagine that? The Lord said, I'm wanting to have mercy. David could later on write this psalm where he said, the mercy of the Lord endureth forever. For the mercy of the Lord endureth forever. Aren't you glad God's mercy stretches further than mine and yours does many times? Amen. Amen. So here's the man who found forgiveness. But second of all, let's look at another man. The man who was found to be faithful. Look in verse number 24. And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king, and had neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes from the day that the king departed until the day that he came again in peace. Hey, some of you ladies, y'all already tore up about this guy, ain't you? I mean, look at him. He hadn't dressed his feet. I don't know exactly what that means. If he hadn't, ain't wore his shoes or he ain't washed his feet, but it ain't good. He ain't washed his clothes and he sure ain't trimmed his hair or his beard up either one. Amen? I mean, he's just let himself go, as a matter of fact, right? I mean, we're talking about a man, as I say, that was faithful. But I want you to notice this. First of all, he was looking for the king. I mean, he was so honed in on wanting to see David and his kingship restored that here he was. He was looking for the king. He was in a sorrowful condition. I think that's what this all is to imply to us, is that Mephibosheth was just so broken and so distraught, he just couldn't do anything because he knew that David was the king and that David had given mercy and David had been good to him. And he said, I don't know what to do. And as a matter of fact, as it says here, he just didn't do anything. Look what it says in verse, he was looking for the king. But in verse 25, it came to pass when he had come to Jerusalem to meet the king, that the king said unto him, wherefore wentest thou not with me, Mephibosheth? David said, look, I thought you was my friend. I thought you was a loyal man. I thought you were a faithful follower to me. Why didn't you go with me? And listen to what he says. Verse number 26, and he answered, my Lord, O king, my servant deceived me. You remember the story of Ziba? Ziba came in and he told David. He said, Mephibosheth thinks he's going to get something out of this deal over here with Absalom taking over. He thinks he's going to be in with the restoration of his place or some kind of, you know, something's going to happen to him because he's over there. He's over there with the enemy, if you will. He's with Absalom now, and he's not following you, David. But he says, look, O Lord, my Lord, O king, my servant deceived me. For thy servant said, I will saddle me an ass that I may ride thereon and go to the king. because thy servant is lame. He said, what my plans were was that I was going to get me a donkey. I'm going to ride on that donkey. I'm going to come and be with you. He said, but my servant has deceived me. And I couldn't do that because I'm lame. And he's talking about Ziba, he has slandered thy servant unto my Lord the King. But my Lord the King is as an angel of God. Do therefore what is good in thine eyes. For all of my father's house were dead, but dead men before my Lord the King. Yet didst thou set thy servant among them that did eat at thine own table. What right therefore have I yet to cry any more to the king? He said, let me just tell you my story. He said, I just want you to know, king, that I love you. I love you. That Ziba right there. And Ziba is standing there. Remember, we just read it there, that he came over with Shimei, and he came over with his 1,000, and he's got his 15 sons and his 20 servants. And now here he is. Mephibosheth said, he deceived me. He wouldn't help me. He didn't do what he was supposed to. I was planning on being with you, king, but Ziba here caused some problems. You know why? Well, we already told you. Ziba's a liar. Ziba's a deceptive man. Ziba's out for himself. Ziba's trying to get any kind of advantage, and he thinks he's got it, but the day has come around now, and the truth has come out. Can I tell you? Hey, here's a man that was faithful. He was in a position. He was in a place where he couldn't do what he wanted to. But thank God he's still looking for the king. And he still loved the king. Amen? Aren't you glad of that? He loved the king. Here he is. He is going to this place. And he said, look. You do whatever you think's right, king. I don't have any right. You've been so good to me, and I love you, and I thank you, but you're the king, and I'm just telling you, king, you do whatever you want to, and I'll be happy with that. He said, look, I realize. You see what he said there in verse number 28? For all of my father's house were but dead men before my Lord the king. Yet thou didst set thy servant among them that did eat at thine own table. He said, you let me come and eat at your table. He said, and I'll be glad with whatever your judgment is. What right, therefore, have I yet to cry any more to the king? I don't have anything to say. Hey, can I tell you something? When you and I come to the Lord, can I tell you, he's looking for some faithful folks. And I'm going to tell you, whatever God does is plumb all right with me. I mean, I ain't got no right to complain, gripe, fuss, or growl, because God's been good to me, and I just thank him for who he is. Amen. That's what he's saying. And that's what you and I ought to say. Oh, listen, we can't come in and say, well, do you know who I am? Do you know what's happened to me? I just don't know what God did. Hey, you ain't got no right. I have no available way to come in and bellyache about what's going on. God's been good. Amen. If he never does anything else for me and you ever again, thank God he's been good. He saved us from our sins. He's took care of. He loved us. He came to us. He got the devil under control in our life. Woo! We ought to be shouting and running and praising God. And old Ziba said, I don't care, king. Just, you know, whatever you need to do, however you want to do it. You see what he said in verse 27? But my Lord the king is as an angel of God. Do therefore what is good in thine eyes. You know, that's what we ought to be saying to the Lord. Lord, I'm not in control of this. And I just want to be faithful to you. And you do whatever you think is right. Whatever you think, God, I'm with it. Amen. I'm on it. He said, I ain't got no reason to complain. Amen. And then I want you to look at this. Look at his lowliness before the king. Look, and the king said unto him, why speakest thou any more of thy matters? I have said, and David did say, thou and Ziba divide the land. You see, David said, look, we don't need, there's no more discussion needs to go. I've already told you once, you and Ziba divide that land, that property that goes to you from being Saul's lineage, and Saul, it would be the inheritance to you from Saul. And he said, "Nothing else to say, nothing else to do." And look what Mephibosheth says in verse number 30. And Mephibosheth said unto the king, "Yea, let him take all." He said, "Hey, king, let Ziba have every bit of it." He said, "For as much as my lord the king is come again in peace unto his own house." He said, "I'll tell you something, king. I'm happy that you're king again." Amen. He can have it all. Thank God. I don't care. Let him have all that land. I'm just glad you're king. Amen. Can I tell you, me and you ought to be like that in our lowly thinking, in our humbleness of heart. We ought to come and say, "God, I'm, again, I don't care. I don't care what I got and what I ain't got. And boy, I'm just happy with what I do have. There's a contentment in my heart. There's a satisfaction in my soul. There's just some joy on the inside of me because you're king and you're in your place. And I don't care about the rest of this stuff." Amen. But how many times do we care about stuff? We want more stuff, bigger stuff, better stuff, and multiplied times stuff. Amen? Now, when it's yours, it's stuff. When it's somebody else's, it's junk, right? But, you know, we want our stuff. Somebody else might say, "I don't want that junk," right? But, boy, I'm telling you, we get so tore up over stuff. And here's Mephibosheth. He said, "King, let him have it. But there's a big, vast piece of property and land." He said, "I don't care, just as long as you're king." You know why? Mephibosheth said, "I know you're going to take care of me no matter what I got or what I don't got." Amen? Hey, can I tell you that's the same way that it is with us? It should be with us and the Lord that way. They tell a story that Spurgeon told. Many years ago, he was at his church and gone out among the village where he was preaching, and he was just going to visit with some of the people there. And he came upon just a little meager home that he knew a little widow woman lived in. A little widow woman lived in the house, and he was at the back side of the house getting ready to walk around the front, and she had her windows open where the air would flow, and he could kind of see in. She couldn't see him. She had her back to him, and she was sitting at her table, and she had before her a slice of bread and a cup of water. And he just paused for a minute, and he just watched her. She's getting ready to eat, and he watched her, and she bowed her head, and she was praying and thanking God for that little slice of bread and that cup of water. And then when she got through, she looked up, she picked up that bread, she said, "All of this and heaven too." Amen? Boy, isn't that a blessing to think, hey, would we be that humble and that thankful, that grateful that we've got, it don't matter what else we don't got or whatever it is, thank God, hey, so long as you got that. Amen? I mean, God's taking care of us. And that's what Mephibosheth said. It don't matter. I don't care. Let him have it. Hey, hallelujah. Matter of fact, he said, let him worry over that. He got all that property. He got to mow that grass. Somebody say amen right there. He got to take care of that garden. He's got to mow them weeds. He's got to do all that work. He said, thank God, I'm just glad you're the king. Amen. Aren't you glad God's the king? I'm glad. Hey, there's a man that was found faithful. All right, let's look at one other fellow real quickly here in the last few verses. Verse number 31, it said, and Barzillai, the Gileadite, came down from Rogelim, and he went over Jordan with the king to conduct him over Jordan. Now, Barzillai was a very aged man, even 80 years old, and he had provided the king of sustenance while he lay at Mahanaim, for he was a very great man. And the king said unto Barzillai, he said, come thou over with me, and I will feed thee with me in Jerusalem. And Barzillai said unto the king, how long have I to live that I should go up with the king unto Jerusalem? I am this day 80 years old, and can I discern between good and evil? Can thy servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women? Wherefore then should thy servant be a burden unto my lord the king? Thy servant will go a little way over Jordan with the king, and why should the king recompense it me with such a reward? Let thy servant, I pray thee, turn back, that I may die in my own city and be buried by the grave of my father and my mother. But behold, thy servant Kimham, let him go over with my lord the king, and do to him what shall seem good unto thee. And the king answered, Kimham shall go over with me, and I will do to him that which shall seem good unto thee, and whatsoever thou shalt require of me, that will I do for thee. Oh, let me just tell you about this fella just for a minute. He was a man that was David's friend, but he was also a man that was looking forward. I want you to notice this, the goodness of real friends. I mean, and the Bible tells us here, the incident that we know about Barzillai more than anything is when David and his men were out in the wilderness after they had left, and you know, Absalom took over, and Absalom's out hunting them, and Absalom's trying to kill David, and they come to Mahanaim, and Barzillai and two other fellows that are rather well-to-do, maybe more wealthier landowners or whatever, they go to David and they take cots, they take food, they take vessels, they take everything that David and his men might need. They take it to them. And you know what Barzillai wanted in return? He said, I don't want nothing. He said, I just want to be a friend to you. Thank God, aren't you glad that there's the goodness of those that are real friends? I mean, there's some folks that are real friends. Well, what do I need to do to help you? He said, you don't need to do nothing. Here's Barzillai, and he's been good to David. He's a friend with David. And as a matter of fact, he said, look, David, I want you to understand, man, I just do this stuff because I love you, and I want to help you, and I want to be a blessing to you. Isn't that what a friend is all about? Amen? Boy, hey, let me tell you, I thank God for real, true friends. They can come to you when you're down and out. They can come to you and help you when you got stuff that you can't figure out. They'll come to you when you're in times of need. I mean, there is just the goodness of having some real friends. I mean, here he is, and David is trying to do something good for him. You see here in verses 31, 32, and 33, and the king says to him, just come with me. Come over with me. And I'm going to take you, and I'll bring you into Jerusalem, and I'll take care of you for the rest of your life. Amen? I mean, that's really what he's offering him. Come on, I'll take care of you. But isn't it amazing the way that Barzillai refuses? You see his gracious refusal. Barzillai says, look, I'm 80 years old. Four scores is 80 years. He said, I'm 80 years old. And look what he says. How long have I to live that I should go up with the king? Verse 34. How long have I? He said, I'm not. this is a great offer, but I don't have very much longer in this life. I'm 80 years old. I am this day four score years old. And look what he says. Somebody get ready to say amen right here. Can I discern between good and evil? He said, I'm having a tough time figuring stuff out. Can thy servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Well, I ain't got that far yet. I still know a little Debbie Sweet. Somebody said amen right there. But I'm just telling you. He said, I've got to play. He said, I don't. Stuff don't taste right. Stuff don't, if I eat it or if I drink it. He said, I can't. He said, look. He said, and guess what? All you women get ready to say amen right here. I can't hear. My wife heard that. Amen. He said, can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women? I mean, he said, I can't hear. I can't hear what's going on. I don't know what's happening. I don't get it anymore. He said, why in the world should I go with you and be a burden? That's what he feels like. He feels like if I go with you, all I'm going to be is just a problem. And you're going to have enough problems being king. You're going to have enough things to take care of. I'm ready to stay here where I'm at, he says. He said, why should thy servant be yet a burden unto the Lord, my Lord the king? Thy servant, listen, he said, I'll go a little way over the Jordan with the king. And why should the king recompense me with such a reward? He said, I don't deserve nothing, David. I'm nobody and I ain't done nothing and I don't deserve. You ever feel like that? That God has just blessed you and done so much for, and God, I'm thankful for what I got. I don't really deserve what I've got, but I sure am thankful for it. And I just want to go a little bit further with you. I'll just go a little bit further with you till it's my time to go home. And that's what Barzillai is saying. He said, thy servant will go a little way over Jordan with the king. And why should the king recompense it me with such a reward? He said, let thy servant, I pray thee, turn back again, that I may die in my own city and be buried by the grave of my father and my mother. He said, if you just let me live my time out here and just be happy, thank God that'll be good enough for me. I don't want nothing. Can I tell you something, friend? When you get so far down the road, all that stuff don't mean nothing no more. You're just happy, happy, happy with what you got. Amen? I mean, okay. Now these other folks, they've got bigger and better and much more and all that. Praise God for them, but I'm telling you, I'm just happy where I'm at. Just glad, just glad, just glad for what God's done for me is what Barzillai's saying. And listen, the Bible said he was a very great man. I believe he was rather wealthy and rather well off. But you know what? It wasn't taking over his life and it wasn't running him. He wasn't trying to, you know, influence people and buy people and do all that stuff like sometimes happens in politics. But look what he says there, verse number 37. He says, let thy servant, I pray thee, turn back again, that I may die in my own city and be buried by the grave of my father and my mother. But behold, thy servant Kimham. He said, let him go over with my lord the king and do to him what shall seem good unto thee. Now, it never really spells it out here, but we're led to believe that Kimham is the son of Barzillai. And as I said, he's a friend, but he was also looking toward the future. He's looking forward. He said, look, David, I've got everything, and I don't need nothing, and I'm old, and I'm about gone, but I've got somebody here that needs a little help from you if you want to help them. You know what me and you need to do today? We don't need stuff for us, but we sure do need to help that generation coming along behind us. We need to leave something for them. And we need to say, God, I'm good. Amen, I'm good. But I sure would appreciate it if you'd bless the church with some young folks, with some of those coming on behind us. Would you put somebody in there and reward them and bless them and encourage them and lift them and let them get in this fight and go, I'm good. I'll still be here. I'm still a friend. I'm still a blessing and being blessed. But thank God, would you do something for them? Amen. We need God to do something for those coming along behind us. That's what he's saying. He said, let Kimham go on. And the king answered, Kimham shall go over with me, and I will do to him. This is the generous reward. And I will do to him that which shall seem good unto thee. And whatsoever thou shalt require of me, that will I do for thee. And all the people went over Jordan. And when the king was come over, listen, the king kissed Barzillai and blessed him. And he returned unto his own place. Then the king went on to Gilgal, and Kimham went with him. And all the people of Judah conducted the king, and also half the people of Israel. Amen. Boy, this Barzillai, he said, look, I'm good. I'm good. And I like that, man. It said that when the king was come over, when they went over the Jordan, and Barzillai's there, he just kissed him and said, I want you to know what a friend you are. Amen. Hey, you ever want to just reach up and kiss Jesus sometimes and say, what a friend we have in Jesus. Amen. What a friend that we have in Him of all the things that He's done. And it said, and He returned unto His own place. He went back to the place where He's happy, went back to the place where He's content, went back to the place where He didn't have to worry about being a burden. He said, I just want to go back and be who I am and do what I do. And I'm here for you, David, if you need me. And David said, guess what? I'm there for you if you need me too. Amen? But I want you to notice something, if you will, just a little bit beyond this. Go on over to the book of 1 Kings in chapter number 2. And flip over to the next book, 1 Kings chapter number 2. And look down, if you will, at verse number 7. David is given instructions unto Solomon to be the king. He's setting Solomon up to be the king. He's giving him instructions on how to behave and what to do. But look what he says in verse number 7 of 1 Kings chapter 2. Verse 7, he said, but show kindness unto the sons of Barzillai, the Gileadite, and let them be of those that eat at thy table. For so they came to me when I fled because of Absalom, thy brother. He said, a real friend. Can I tell you, when you're the friend of God, He'll take care of you and He'll take care of those that belong to you. This is the same David that said, I've been young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. And he tells Solomon, he said, these folks right here, this man right here, good to me. You take care of his sons and you let them sit at the king's table because of the blessing that their daddy was to me. Can I tell you, I think tonight that a lot of us are living on some borrowed blessings. I think because what mamas and daddies in time past, my mama and daddy, I think God's blessed me a whole lot just because of them and their faithfulness to Him. Amen? And I'm telling you, you know what we need to do? Pass it on. Pass it on and pass it on. Amen? Well, I just wanted you to see those three men there tonight. Brother Ronnie, come on. We're going to sing a verse of a song.